RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
All right, this is pretty cool. Shout out to David Wallace of Randolph-Macon, Randolph-Macon's football team, which had a ton of success. I was going to say had a ton of success last year. They just do every year. They're very good every year. He is going to practice with the New England Patriots this week on an undrafted rookie contract, try to make his way to training camp with the Patriots if he shows out this week. So David Wallace, a little Randolph-Macon in the NFL. I would love that. Get him to training camp. Got that circled. Patriots are at the Commanders in the preseason, so he could live out every Richmond child's lifelong dream of playing an exhibition game at FedEx Field in late August when it's scorching hot outside. That'd be cool, though. There'd be a little juice on that game. Have a Randolph-Macon kid in that preseason game on national TV. Would certainly love to see that. Good luck to David Wallace. Randolph-Macon out of Patriots practice this week. It's the Wednesday show. It's MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. In 11 minutes, we'll chat with Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football Podcast. He'll be at Commanders practice today. Last of the optional team activities. They have not been super optional, though, so far. They've had 100% attendance at those. I would imagine that will continue today. New team. New era, certainly the new guys who've been signed, they're going to show. They're going to show up for their guy. Old guys are going to show up because they got to show up to keep their jobs. This stat was fascinating to me. There are only 7 players on the Commanders roster right now, the 90-man roster, who have guaranteed money next year. So when Adam Peters is planning out next year's Commanders roster, he has less than $20 million committed right now. And it's only 7 different players. There's no Terry McLaurin. His guaranteed money comes off. There's no Jonathan Allen. His guaranteed money comes off. All those big contracts, the big names, all roll off after this season and can be cut without penalty. Now, not to suggest Terry's going anywhere. Terry's not going anywhere. But in terms of how Adam Peters can build this team, he has complete flexibility. The only player who's got money coming his way next year, significant money, is Daron Payne. He's owed $9 million next year. He'll be on the roster this year and next year. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think they want Daron Payne, and I wouldn't be surprised if they bring him into more. Y'all remember when Pot Roast was here, Terrence Knighton, right? Just a big dude stuffing the run up the middle. Those guys have become more and more valuable in the game. Wouldn't surprise me at all if that's where this ends with Daron Payne. You know, he had his sack season, and that was cool, and big dudes getting sacks is always great. But I think he'll shift into a role as a run stuffer and a dedicated run stuffer, and I think he'll be very good at that. Now, the other contracts, so the three other guys other than Payne from the Rivera time, Jahan Dotson, obviously still on his rookie deal next year, but his is guaranteed as a first rounder. Emmanuel Forbes, his deal's guaranteed as a first rounder. And Quan Martin still has about $700,000 of guaranteed money coming his way. Now, those are three guys you got to figure out what you're going to do with. You could walk away from any of them. I'm hopefully you get enough out of Dotson this year that you keep him on the roster, because I think that rookie year was really good, and he showed flashes of what he can bring to the table. He's a precise route runner. I don't know that he's a bona fide number two right now, which he certainly is on the depth chart because there's a lack of options there. Wouldn't mind seeing somebody else come in and push him at that position, but I think he's on the roster next year. Emmanuel Forbes, that's, you know, we talk about everybody on this defense as being a big wild card. What are you going to do with some of these guys who certainly, you know, Emmanuel Forbes, you can call him overdrafted, right? They drafted him too early, but you can't deny that he was going to be drafted and be drafted early, and a lot of teams felt that way. He was not going to slide to the third round or anything crazy like that if he wasn't taken by the Commanders. There were a lot of teams that liked Emmanuel Forbes a lot. It's about this coaching staff coaching him up, getting to the bottom of that, getting to the bottom of how do you maximize that talent? How do you put him in a position to succeed? How do you make sure that's not a wasted pick? Because when you miss on first-round picks in the NFL, it sets you back. And that's a top priority for Dan Quinn and company. You got to get Jahan Dotson rolling again. You got to get Emmanuel Forbes rolling again, because those first-rounders have to deliver for you as you rebuild this roster, as you build these building blocks. Quan Martin's the other one. I think he'll get chances this year to play safety, to play maybe some nickel if they see him in that role. Less essential that he gets rolling, but you'd rather find a guy on the roster than have to go elsewhere to get a guy. So three guys from this past signing class also have guaranteed money next year. These are the seven Commanders with guaranteed money next year. Tyler Biadasz, Nick Allegretti, and Frankie Louvu. Obviously, you know, get an offensive lineman, you got to give him money. And Louvu, that was one of my favorite signings of the offseason. I'm going to love watching him and Bobby Wagner at linebacker. About time we had some real linebacker play for the Commanders. Only been about like 7 or 8 years since that's happened. So certainly seeing some success out of Frankie Louvu would be a ton of fun as they build this. But the point being, if they wanted to, they could basically free up the entire cap this next offseason. They didn't spend big this year. I think that was by design. I think Adam Peters wants to see what he has, wants to give some of these guys a chance. But if Jaden Daniels takes off this year, if Jaden Daniels has an incredible rookie season, if he dominates and you say, okay, do we want to accelerate this thing? You can hit the gas pretty quickly on this, because you're going to have a lot of money to throw around next season. You can also keep it rolling down the line. The Browns did that for a long time. They operated a salary cap surplus until they got Deshaun Watson. Then they started spending. They had the money banked. They were able to spend around him to build up that team. Now, what happened in Cleveland was they built a great defense. Deshaun Watson turned out to be a bit of a disappointment coming off of his legal issues and his time away from the game. That's obviously, you know, you're hoping to avoid that here. But if Jaden Daniels is dominant, You can go get whoever you want next offseason. If Jaden Daniels, you're unsure at the end of the year, you can keep playing it cautiously for a year. But I like the flexibility. I certainly like where this roster is. Other note today for Commanders minicamp, Jeremy Reeves will be back on the field today. Super pumped for him. Tore his ACL last year after a Pro Bowl season. He was the special teams Pro Bowler 2 years ago, tore his ACL last year. He's back, working out with an eye towards playing at the start of this upcoming season, which would be cool. I mentioned the RFK Stadium story. We'll slide into this quickly. They had primary elections in D.C. last night, and it is officially too close to call in the important race, the race of the RFK neighborhood. But the guy who was pro stadium, Wendell Felder's his name, is leading Ebony Payne, who campaigned on we don't want a stadium here. So it looks like the pro stadium guy is going to win the election in D.C., which is another step towards getting RFK there. Now, the bad news, Tom Lavera over the Washington Times wrote this week that the Maryland senators are now discussing killing the RFK stadium bill to give an advantage to FedEx Field in the quest to be the next Commander Stadium. To which I say boo, both to Maryland as a whole and to them individually. But if you're going to do that, at least bring something good to the table. We know Landover stinks. We know it's a terrible location. We've lived that for 20, 25, 26 years now. It's not going to get better with time. If you're going to do that, if you're going to make maneuvers to try to kill the RFK site, bring something good to the table. Bring something worthwhile. When we get back, Mitch Tischler joins us. He hosts the Beltway Football Podcast on Monumental Sports Network. He'll break down everything he's excited to see today. Chat with him about all things Commanders. You're listening to MP on the Mic. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MP on the Mic, Wednesday edition. Commanders practice open to media today. And our guy Mitch Tischler, of course, is on all things Commanders, Beltway football. That's the podcast on Monumental Sports Network and, of course, places where you get your podcasts. He's kind enough to join us now for a few minutes. Mitch, what's up?
How you doing, bud?
I feel great. I don't know that I feel great about, like, this upcoming season of, like, nobody's going to the Super Bowl, but it just feels like every time we're out in Ashburn, like, people are happy to be there.
Yeah, the vibe out there is entirely different, and I think, you know, you're starting to see the effects of, you know, an entirely turned over franchise, new ownership, new front office, new coaches, and a heck of a lot of new players out there. And I think you see it on the practice field, and it echoes when we get the chance to talk to the players and coaches. And again, I agree with you. I'm excited about where this franchise is going and what the future might look like.
Is there anybody who you've been excited to see over the last few weeks, or you're excited to see, you know, once the season starts, what kind of impact they can make here?
Yeah, I mean, the easy answer there is Jaden Daniels, because quite frankly, you know, there's a lot of other pieces that are interesting and, you know, important to see development and get better. But at the end of the day, this upcoming season is about Jaden Daniels and his development into a real NFL quarterback. And he's a guy that I've been super high on since, you know, we started this process of, you know, the Commanders have the second overall pick and, you know, where are they going to go with him? I've liked Jaden Daniels. I've wanted them to go with him. I love the fact that I see him, you know, in Ashburn now in the burgundy and gold. And, you know, quite frankly, what I'm seeing from him, and granted, it's only OTAs and you can only take so much away from it, but I really like what I've seen from him, because there's been some really, really, you know, subpar quarterback play here in D.C. for a long time. And particularly as of late, you know, even when we were at OTAs, we were talking about, you know, Carson Wentz and, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of missing passes in, you know, in these OTA sessions, and kind of, you know, creating that excuse of, oh, it's early in the season, you know, they got to get on the same page as the other receivers and all these other things. Well, Jaden Daniels is a rookie. He's stepping in, and you're seeing him deliver the ball to receivers, two tight ends, two running backs, on time, in the right place, in a position where they can catch the ball and go make a move. And, you know, for this early in the season, for him to be at this point, I think is exciting, because it's clearly a higher level than we've seen here in quite a while.
Yeah, and we were trying to talk ourselves into it last year with Sam Howell, right? You know, he didn't look bad early in the season. We'll take the Chicago game out of it. But, you know, you try to talk yourself into it mid-season, like he's getting better every week. But then, you know, it was kind of undeniable what we saw the last 6 or 7 weeks, and certainly when Jacoby Brissett came in, shed some light on what it was. I don't know that Jaden Daniels needs to put up wins and losses, because I think there's a lot of external factors on that. What are some of the things, though, he could do to make you come out of this season saying, I feel good about this, let's start building around the kid?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at some of the kind of under-the-radar numbers, completion percentage, you know, how quickly he gets rid of the ball, touchdown-interception ratio, kind of little things like that where where you can kind of see where players are developing without getting into the crazy, you know, extra metrics that everyone, you know, reads into these days. But to me, it's an eye test. You know, it's a does this guy pass the test as somebody who is getting better kind of week after week and game after game? Because we saw early with Sam last year, there was some roller coaster early in the season, up, down. And we kept trying to talk to ourselves about, hey, he's not making the same mistakes twice. He's getting better. He's doing this. But kind of when you take a step back and look big picture, you could see that, you know, that improvement line had really, you know, plateaued or even maybe gone down kind of as the season went. And so as we look at what, you know, Jaden's going to do in this upcoming season, you just want to see kind of that line kind of steadily going up and watching him play better. And I think you'll see it, you know, in getting rid of the ball quickly, making good decisions, being accurate with the football, you know, all the kind of basic things that you ask of a quarterback, but are super tough sometimes for rookie quarterbacks in the NFL to put together all into one game.
No doubt. We love having Mitch Tischler on the program. Beltway Football is the podcast, all things Commanders all year round. And, of course, great time to be following them as we have OTA practice today, mini camp next Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be up there. Always excited to hang in the heat with you. Nice hot temperature. Feel like we skipped the pleasant portion of practices. We went straight to the hottest practices of the year.
Yeah, I'm somehow trying to talk myself into the fact that we might be in, I guess, June now, but when we get to August, it's going to somehow be cooler than it is now.
Wishful thinking. At least we won't be in on the swampy sewer lines of Richmond this year. I know there were other processes in Richmond, but the smell was not one of them. Mitch, when you've got you've got so many guys who took a step backwards last year, you know, who I think were forecasted to, you know, and I'm thinking of the defense in particular, you know, St. Juice and Curl and, you know, Jamin Davis. And a lot of those guys are back this year. Is there anybody who you think can really benefit from a year and offseason with this coaching staff and maybe resurrect their careers or at least, you know, how we think of them this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of the secondary, and particularly the corners, but a lot of the secondary, I think, is going to benefit immediately from the coaching that they're getting. Because to me, that's the biggest difference, whether it's on offense or on defense. You know, I like to talk offensive line, but talk about the coaching difference between last year and this year. The corners and secondary, the coaching between last year and this year is just going to be so much better. And I think a lot of the issues that, as a group, these guys had last year was, you know, miscommunication and not really understanding what they were supposed to be doing on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, that's what Dan Quinn and Joe Witt do. That's, we saw what they did in Dallas, you know, turning them around and creating that, making that defense a turnover machine. Obviously, we know about Dan Quinn in Seattle and the Legion of Boom and all that. And so as I look at the secondary, I mean, Emmanuel Forbes is the guy that pops out the most to me. You know, his size obviously is what it is, and it is an issue. And I think last year, you know, there were some problems with his coverage on passing plays, but I think one of his biggest issues was kind of his willingness to step up and be involved in the run game. And I think just as an overall improvement, when you improve the linebacking core, then that helps the, you know, the front four. It also helps the back. I think it's going to help out in the run game a lot. And so really, if Emmanuel Forbes can start playing freely and not having to, you know, kind of think and then react, if he can just kind of react and get on the field, I think we'll see some of those things that we really liked that we saw in college. And that was him getting his hands on the balls and, you know, getting interceptions and being able to return it. And that's what kind of this Joe Witt, Dan Quinn defense is predicated on, right? It's predicated on turnovers. And Emmanuel Forbes was brought in last year to help with the turnover situation. I just think the coaching was so poor last year and not really beneficial for these young guys as they were trying to find their footing in the NFL.
Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly how it'll pan out for him, but I know that Darryl Green said he just needed 10 minutes, and I know the two of them met this offseason, I think even for like an entire afternoon. So that's more than 10 minutes. So we should be good to go. I mean, if you can get a first-round pick to be humming at that level, it saves you so much time having to overpay a free agent, having to, you know, chase that trademark at other draft guys. It'd be great to see him get rolling. Got another minute here with Mitch Tischler, Monumental Sports Beltway Football Podcast. I got two joint practices on tap, the Jets and the Dolphins. How excited are you to see this team in those environments this summer?
Quite excited. I mean, the we told you, we just talked about the secondary, you know, going against Aaron Rodgers up in New York, and then obviously going against that Dolphins receiving core down in Miami is going to be a great test for these guys. But I'll tell you what, I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan, and as I look at the Jets and what's happening up there, I see a lot of, you know, early 2000s Washington Redskins in them, and I am interested to see up close and personal kind of what this what that's going to look like up there, because I know there's a lot of excitement from fans across the NFL about what that Jets team might look like, but I kind of think that team might end up imploding a little bit and only being maybe a seven or eight win team or something along those lines, just kind of mediocre, subpar, and falling apart. So I'm excited for what they're going to help out and do with the with the Commanders and getting Jaden Daniels on track and trying to set up specific situations that he can work out of. But big picture, I want to see what happens up with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
That'll be fascinating. Once again, they have all the primetime games. If the wheels come off, I'm going to petition the NFL to stop putting the Jets in these games, because we can only handle so much bad football as Americans. They don't need to be jamming more of it down our throats.
I'll tell you what, just give me the Michael Jackson popcorn eating meme. I'm just sitting there just popping that popcorn, enjoying watching Aaron Rodgers throw 30 interceptions this year.
I love it. Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football's the podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Watch it on TV on Monumental Network. Thank you so much for making some time for us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Phil.
All right, we're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Flying Squirrels update coming in the 11 o'clock hour. You can hear the squirrels every night right here on 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. We got Erie out of town, and good things started happening. Funny how that works. Erie leaves, and all of a sudden, squirrels start having a little bit of success. We'll dive into that at 11 o'clock. Of course, get you ready for K-State UVA baseball Super Regional down at Davenport Field this weekend. We've got Game Time's Friday night opener out there, then a Saturday and Sunday matinee, Sunday if necessary. In baseball, it sure feels like the third game is often necessary. It's tough to sweep these things. I know they swept through the regional. I know they're red hot right now. I love Jay Wolfolk, what he's doing right now, but it's tough to win all three of these. So Coastal Carolina was in that region of doom with VCU and Wake, and in the end, Evansville ends up winning that out of nowhere. That's college baseball for you. The coach of Coastal Carolina is Gary Gilmore. He is retiring at the end of the year, so his season came to an end. He did his press conference, and while he did reflect back on his career and the memories and thank the seniors, he also said, "I'm really happy to be out of here." Why, Gary? Why are you really happy to be out of here?
In baseball, it'd be the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, Texas, and the rest of the teams couldn't compete because they would spend every amount of money they needed to spend to do it. And that's what's going on right now. Yeah, I mean, there's not a level playing field. You know, it's just ridiculous for me. There has to be a better way. It's not just who can raise the most money and give it away. There has to be a better way because, like I said, professional sports would go in the toilet in a hurry if we used this system.
No, it's NIL. NIL's the reason that Gary Gilmore is unhappy. Went on to say, you got college baseball teams paying $2 million for teams, and it's ridiculous, and it's not right. Now, I have no evidence on this. I texted somebody who I thought would know. And yesterday I said, is anybody paying $2 million a year for a college baseball team? And they said, I don't think so. I don't know. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that one of the SEC schools is doing it just because they have so much money to throw around. He said, but I certainly haven't heard of it. And I haven't heard of it either, right? $2 million is what you're hearing about with some top men's basketball teams. And certainly there are a lot of football teams, in the seven-figure mark. I don't think we're paying college baseball teams $2 million yet. Gary's unhappy. Let's break this down a little bit. Now, I don't come on the radio each day and defend how the NIL landscape has played out. I think it's largely been pretty stupid and haphazard, and it has been a detriment to college sports, the way it has created this Wild West atmosphere of promises and broken promises and kids switching teams every year. This files under I'm unhappy people are making money and it's not me. Right? Like, this is blaming a lot of the ills on the fact that the players are getting paid. And that's not the problem here. The problem here is the NCAA has administered it in a crappy way. So first off, this being an unlevel playing field where I can't compete with people. It's never been a level playing field. You're Coastal Carolina. You've never been able to compete against the SEC for recruits, right? ask James Madison, right? Was it a level playing field before NIL? No, because kids would rather go play at Alabama than at James Madison. It's never been a level playing field. So this isn't about the unleveling of the playing field. The second thing is closer to, you know, and I've made this point before, and I'll make this point again. Is imagine if pro sports did this. You know, just it'd just be the Yankees and the Dodgers spending whatever they need to spend to win every year, and nobody else would have a chance. Well, that is how baseball works, Gary. That is how baseball works, and that is how sports work. To a large extent, certainly, you know, not the NFL, which has a salary cap system, but in a lot of the sports, there's a huge imbalance of spending. Now, in baseball in particular, right, Dodgers can make the playoffs every year and will make the playoffs every year with their roster. Doesn't mean they'll do anything because baseball's a random enough sport that anybody you let into the postseason is going to have a chance to win this thing, is going to have a chance to walk away at the World Series title. But in terms of if we just let people spend whatever they want, it'll be the Wild West. Imagine if professional sports did that. No. The reason professional sports is not a mess is not because they're not spending money, because last time I checked, the Yankees spend a lot of money every single year and build a great roster every single year. The reason it doesn't work is because you've got this portal nonsense where guys can leave for a new school every year. Pro sports works because the contracts last for multiple years. If you're a Yankees fan and you like Aaron Judge, you can buy an Aaron Judge jersey with a very reasonable amount of confidence. Aaron Judge is going to remain with the Yankees for however long is left on his contract and presumably beyond then, because there are incentives and systems in place to keep guys on the teams they are, right? We see Justin Jefferson. Does Justin Jefferson want to play for the Minnesota Vikings this year? I would guess that no, he does not. I would guess Justin Jefferson would like to play for a contender this year. But the system is the Vikings are the team that can offer him the most money, can keep him there, can keep the fans happy because they know him, they love him, they watch him develop. You know, same at the college level. You just have to find a way to keep the kids there for longer than a year. I can put up with, you know, VCU paying, not paying, whatever. I want to make sure that when I go to the Siegel Center, I know who these kids are. I have an emotional investment in them because that's how being a fan works. You rally around your guy. That's why the Commanders have been in the space they've been in for so long, because there's been so few players worth having that emotional attachment to, and it's always ended poorly, seemingly, for the ones who have. RG3, you know, even London Fletcher, who was great, just there weren't any signature London Fletcher moments. Trent Williams, a guy who was easy to root for, and then it ends with acrimony, right? So that's what you're hoping on this Jaden Daniels situation. Not that he'll be the greatest player in the NFL. It'd be great if he was, but he'll be a guy who you can rally behind. That's my guy every year, and I can buy the jersey and I can root for him. And Terry McLaurin's got a lot of that to him as well. You need those guys as sports fans. But this notion that, you know, that was Coastal Carolina baseball coach Gary Gilmore on the wire, I'm so glad I'm not here to deal with NIL. I mean, take a number on that, right? Look at all the talent that's left men's basketball in the last few years. You're telling me Jay Wright wouldn't have hung around for a few more years if he didn't have to deal with this? I think he would have. I think he had a good thing going at Villanova. I think he would have kept it rolling. He didn't want to deal with this. But it's not because the players are getting paid. It's because they executed it so poorly. It's because the NCAA spent 6 years knowing this was coming, and instead of crafting sensible rules, they spent 6 years dragging their feet and now are begging Congress to bail them out. And good luck with that. If you're begging Congress to bail you out, you're in a bad spot. The other college sports news I wanted to mention before we slide up to the top of the hour here, take on the NBA briefly. In North Carolina, the North Carolina legislature, speaking of laws, it will debate a bill. This passed out of the subcommittee. This is going to the North Carolina legislature. A bill that will require UNC and NC State to play the smaller schools in the state, Appalachian State, Eastern Carolina, and the University of Charlotte, in each sport on a rotating basis. So instead of doing the bye games, you have to play. I would love something like that in Virginia, where UVA and Virginia Tech have to get in some kind of rotation with ODU, James Madison, VCU. At some point, you got to protect people from themselves. And if you're the coach, if you're Brent Pry, if you're Mike Young, if you're Brian O'Connor, although Brian O'Connor does a nice job of coming out here and playing at the Diamond every year against VCU, your incentive is to load up on out-of-state teams that doesn't mean anything to. Somebody's got to make sure these college sports games mean something. And in-state rivalries are the way to do that. I don't know if that's the legislature's job to make that happen, but if they can play a role in nudging us towards that future, and then the NCAA's got to do its part too. You've got to stop punishing teams for scheduling and losing those games. You've got to incentivize them to schedule those games instead of chasing, you know, teams that you can buy and have buy games. We got another hour coming up. AWOD Radio takes over at noon. It's MP on the mic. It's the Wednesday edition. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Hour number two, MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app with you for the rest of the week. We'll break down Commander's minicamp, which will be next week. Wrap up the final OTA practice. We'll get you ready for that. We'll be up in Ashburn next Tuesday and Wednesday. Looking forward to those shows. Always some great interviews with people, everybody around the team. Always love talking to the coaches, the players, the reporters, everybody. Should be a fun time. We'll look forward to that. A little news this morning. Novak Djokovic will have surgery today on his torn meniscus, likely to miss the Olympics, Wimbledon, and he's not ruling out the U.S. Open, but certainly doesn't look great for him. The Olympics is kind of the big one there, because that was going to be both in Paris. That was going to be a cool environment. You got a European Olympics, you know, legendary tennis venue. They did it, they did it at Wimbledon back when they had the London Olympics. And I don't believe he's got any Olympic medals yet. So it would have been a good opportunity for him to win one of those. So he'll be out from that. We'll keep you posted as we learn about that. They've got the picture. Speaking of the Olympics, the swimming starts next weekend. They've got the pictures. They turned the Indianapolis Colts football stadium into the Olympic swimming venue for the U.S. trials. They built a platform on top of the football field and slapped a swimming pool in the middle of the football field. And so they'll be able to have 50,000 people watch the swimming trials for the U.S. I don't know if 50,000 people will come, but I think that'd be a cool event.
Yeah.
Like Michael Phelps isn't there anymore, but
that was my number one question.
Katie Ledecky, I think, is as fun to watch as Michael Phelps.
She's pretty great.
Not as big of a name, but certainly every bit as dominant. It's cool to watch people who are the best in the world, like, just completely dominate, you know, the competition and everybody else. Like, swim that far ahead of everybody else. Swimming trials next weekend at the football stadium. Maybe they could just leave that. The Colts could play water football this year.
Yeah.
Mix it up a little bit. You know, we're playing all sorts of gimmicky games these days. Why not just leave the pool for a minute? Play some water polo.
That would be fun.
Instead, get in there. You'll be fine. and NBA finals start tomorrow. Celtics taking on Dallas, and the Mavericks would be the third biggest underdog in finals history to win. They're at plus 184 right now. They would be the third biggest underdogs to be finals champions and to walk away with the title. Taking a trip down memory lane here, the two biggest ahead of them on the board that they can't catch, the 2019 Toronto Raptors, were slightly bigger underdogs. But the big one, the 2004 Pistons, who were plus 500 to win the championship against the Lakers. And that was our guy Ben Wallace prior to Richmond, bringing that one home for the Pistons. Legendary upset. That Lakers team, I knew that was a Shaq and Kobe team. I went back and looked at that roster. That Lakers team, not only Shaq and Kobe, Karl Malone and Gary Payton were both on that team as well. They were loaded. 5-1 on the Pistons to win when the finals start. You almost never see a line that lopsided, right? Like Dallas is just, you know, plus 184, which isn't even 2-1, which means either team could win this. But we'll see if Dallas can pull it off. I think they're certainly capable. I think you view the Celtics as the favorites here, but you don't bet against Kyrie. That's for sure. Here's LeBron James. This is clip 8, Hazel. LeBron James talking about Kyrie Irving and kind of gushing over his talents ahead of an NBA Finals that I think will be defined in large part by him as the main celebrity attraction.
I will call Kyrie the wizard all the time. There was nothing on the basketball floor that Kyrie couldn't do. And sitting here watching it, I'm like, I'm playing like so happy and so proud and to watch him and continue his growth or whatever the case may be. And at the same time, I'm so mad at the same time that I am not his running mate anymore. He's the most gifted player the NBA has ever seen. He has the best gifts I've ever seen of any NBA player.
Yeah, no more super teams coming for LeBron. That's he can bring some talent in, but you're not bringing that level of talent in anymore. They are flying away, flying on their own. You got Doncic and Irving. I mean, it's hard to say that team can't win in the finals when you've got that level of talent. Celtics certainly playing at a high level as well. But the Lakers are once again the story because you've got all these reports that as soon as the finals are over, They're gonna hire J.J. Redick as their coach, which is fascinating to me in a lot of ways. I want to play the Paul Pierce clip first, taking on this J.J. Redick hiring, what it means for the Lakers, because he goes straight to it here. He doesn't hold back.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I really don't even think this is really about a championship no more. This is about putting on a good show, because if we're talking about, this sound like a script to me. This really sound like a script to me. If we're talking about, think about this. They hire J.J. Redick, draft Bronny, or sign. I mean, does this sound like something that's like we're trying to move in a direction to win a championship, or does it sound like we're trying to put on a show?
Just trying to put on a show. Just trying to keep interest high in the Lakers, right? We've seen this show with Jerry Jones in Dallas for so many years, right? Not how can we build a Super Bowl caliber team? How can we make sure people keep talking about us and people keep us relevant? Now, to me, the real underdog story here is not that J.J. Redick's going to become coach of the Lakers, but that J.J. Redick, who was basically a national villain at Duke, somehow has a positive Q rating right now. Like, more people like J.J. Redick than don't like J.J. Redick. He's entertaining. He's good on the broadcast. I think you've not heard anybody question his coaching acumen, his preparation style, right? He's a meticulous guy. He's clearly cut out for the job. Back in the Duke days, it wouldn't have surprised me if you'd said this guy ends up coaching the Los Angeles Lakers. What would have surprised me is if you'd said this guy ends up being liked and coaches the Los Angeles Lakers. He's coming there and people are like, I'll watch that guy. I'll listen to that guy on his podcast on TV. And it looks like that's the direction we're headed. Now, I'm not full Paul Pierce here because I think this hiring has some merit to it in that you clearly need a better strategic approach than the Lakers had this year, and J.J. Redick clearly brings that to the table with his skill set. But I get what Paul Pierce is saying, right? If you've got another year of LeBron, how do you fight off the irrelevance? How do you fight off being a team that people tune out on? And there's only so much you can do in terms of bringing in star power, in terms of the draft picks they'll have. Now, I don't think they'll draft Bronny. I don't think anybody will draft Bronny. I saw that. Was that a Shams report that Phoenix was interested in drafting Bronny? Phoenix is crazy enough to do anything. I don't think anybody will draft Bronny without a full and explicit promise that they're getting LeBron too. That, to me, is the only place that conversation starts. Otherwise, he's a late second round at best. And, you know, maybe you draft him to try to lure LeBron later. Maybe you draft him and hope he develops. He's going to be a tough guy to park in the G League, so you got to factor that in. I think if you're going to get him the minutes he needs to develop, you're going to need to find a way to get him playing. I think if he can slide through, the Lakers are a logical landing spot. You sign him, you put him on the bench. I get where Paul Pierce is coming from. That's a show. You know, that's entertainment. But it's also what LeBron needs to be happy, then you got to keep it rolling because LeBron's still got it. You can hate on him all day. The guy was still putting up numbers this year, and he's still got it. So J.J. Redick, pride of Roanoke, going to coach Los Angeles Lakers after a storied career. I actually covered his sister in when she played the state title game in Richmond. I forget who they played against. They played against one of the Richmond schools. And it was one of those, like, Cave Spring, I think, was the high school out there. One of, like, anytime, I love state championship week at the Siegel Center, because, like, anytime those small towns have, like, a good team, like, literally the whole town comes. And it's, like, just, like, the sweetest, like, Americana thing. You remember Mac McClung, like, when he was having his moment, like, literally the whole town of Gate City, like, drives up and watches basketball at the Siegel Center. And then you got, you know, you got the other games. Like, you got John Marshall, which is basically a professional team at this point. Like, and they're doing their dunks and they're doing their thing. And, you know, they're packing the gym too. It's a good week of basketball when they do the finals at the Siegel Center. I love that tradition. Abby Reddick. So I saw Abby Reddick and Cave Spring in the VHSL title game at the Siegel Center. JJ had already hit liftoff at that point. Famous siblings, also Anna Wilson, Russell Wilson's sister, had much success on the local basketball scene with collegiate. She was at the private school level, went on, won a natty at Stanford. Not in the WNBA, but won a natty in college. That's something. It's not nothing. We'll talk WNBA because, look, there's a lot going on. Angel Reese got booted yesterday. She got fined. She's been fined over the last three games. $1,400, which is, right, like, that's the headline, and we're kind of immune to athletes getting fined. You know, everything's a fine in the NFL. You get the envelope every week. Baseball's fining guys $100,000, whatever it is. What's fascinating to me, the Angel Reese story, they don't make a lot of money. I think that's where you got to start here, right? The WNBA caps the salaries at $76,000 in the 70s. You know, different people can make different amounts depending on their tenure, but nobody's making six figures in the WNBA. $76,000 a year, like, there's people listening to this show that make $76,000 a year. And their employers aren't fining them $1,400 for things they do on the job, right? That's actually a lot of money relative to the salary, relative to what you're making. I'm not saying you can't fine them, but if you're going to go NFL style, you need to make it proportional to what they're making. The NFL player, you fine them $100, fine, they laugh at it, right? That's why they fine them more. But if you're only paying $76,000 a year, what are we doing handing out $1,000 fines? You know, that's not a lot. They're not that they're scraping by, they've got endorsements, but, you know, if you're saying, oh, they've got endorsement money, the endorsers need to be the ones fining them, not the WNBA. As we mentioned, the Mystics lost again. They're 0-9, 25% of the way to the full tank. Hey, what points out Paige Becker's number one pick next year? Are we playing the long game? I don't know. What I know is we're talking about the Washington Mystics until they win a WNBA basketball game. 0-9 right now. We'll talk about it all season if we need to. Once they win one, the bit's over. Once they win one, we're done here. All right, fine. They're just a bad team. But if they're 0-4, we are following the Ofer. You better believe it. We're jumping on that bandwagon. CJ Stroud had some choice thoughts about Aaron Rodgers, and we'll play those for you on the way back. Also, want to dive into this new first down measurement system, which in classic replay style somehow feels like a step forward, but is actually a complete misuse of the technology. I'll dive into that. We'll take on some other NFL topics on the other side of the break. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Thanks for spending your Wednesday with us. SMP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. You know we're on all major podcast platforms. You search MP on the mic, like, subscribe, do all the things they tell you to do. We're also on the free Odyssey app. It's got the rewind button. Apple Store, Google Play are the two places for that. Committed to giving you a summer of fun here. You know, the sports slow down, but we don't slow down here at 910 The Fan. We keep our foot on the gas pedal. Big anniversary this week. It's the 50th anniversary of the Cleveland Indians hosting 10 Cent Beer Night at their stadium. This was the last 10 Cent Beer Night in Major League Baseball history. The game ended with a riot, fans on the field, and the game was declared a forfeit with the Texas Rangers winning the game. 10 cents? That's a good price.
That's a great price.
I remember growing up, the local baseball team had, in Wichita, Kansas, had 10-cent hot dog night. So you could but there's people cap themselves on 10-cent hot dogs. People don't have the filter to shut off. 10-cent hot dogs is essentially as many as you want.
Right.
Yeah. But 10-cent beer, people don't know when to flip the switch. That's what we learned. This is why we can't have nice things anymore. 10-cent beer night ended in disaster.
All we have is the $1.25 hot dog at Costco. It's the only thing you can rely on.
And the new CFO promised to hold the price. That was an actual news item this week. We talk about the summertime when the news slows down. Costco's sliding right into that window. We've got a news story for you. Everybody bid on it, too. They're holding the price on the hot dog. Can I give you my take on the Costco hot dog because we're here?
Yes.
That's actually not like outrageous that they're holding the line at charging people $1.50 for a hot dog, right? Like, they're acting like it's this feat of, you know, they're having to work so hard to hold this line. An 8-pack of hot dogs at Kroger is $4.
Right.
And that's Kroger.
Trying to crunch the numbers there.
Sure. We got some variables here. One, it's a bigger hot dog.
Okay.
Two, somebody has to prepare it. I get that. Three, there's a bun involved. Mm-hmm. So it's not a direct comparison, but I think Costco, the institution, probably has more buying power than MP, a guy at Kroger flipping through hot dogs, you know, figuring out which one he wants, if he wants the Oscar Myers or the ballparks or the Hebrew Nationals. Like, what, you know, that I don't have the buying power Costco has.
You may be onto something there.
I'm just saying, like, I buy 8 hot dogs for $4 at the grocery store. They're selling one hot dog for $1.50, and they're throwing in a drink, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I know how much it costs to make a Pepsi. It's sugar and it's water and it's carbonation. Like, it's 4 cents tops to provide a Pepsi as part of this meal. That creates the impression of the value. Like, wow, I'd pay $1.50 just for the Pepsi normally.
Right.
Yes, but the cost in producing that Pepsi is essentially zero.
This is like when you watch Shark Tank and they're like, what's the markup? Oh, 300%.
Yeah, the markup on a fountain drink Pepsi is absurd.
I'm sure.
Absolutely. I will tell you, we're just going all the way down the rabbit hole. I didn't plan on it, but we're getting there. We will get to Squirrel's update. We'll get there. A fascinating difference to me between the Midwest and the East Coast. Growing up, when we went to our versions of Wawa and Sheetz and gas stations, the fountain drink was always cheaper than the bottled drink. Yes. The bottled drinks were like $2 and the fountain drinks were like 69 cents. I noticed on the East Coast, it is often different. The fountain drinks are like $1.60 out here, and they're running bottled drinks at that price or a little lower. I don't know why that is. I have not figured that out yet. So if anybody knows, 833-804-0910. That's the number. If you want to explain to me why a fountain drink is so much cheaper. Now, when I first moved here, the Circle K's had the Polar Pop for 89 cents. It was a fountain drink in the Styrofoam cup. I always feel like we know now the Styrofoam cup is bad for the environment. I know that. I acknowledge that. I love the earth. I cherish Mother Earth. I'll go hug a tree later. I do like the Styrofoam cup, though, in a fountain drink scenario. Does that make me a bad person? It might. Nobody does it anymore. It's okay. I'm not like out here hoarding bootleg Styrofoam cups. Just, lots of people are bothered by the straw situation these days with the biodegradable straws. I'm focusing on, can we develop a better Styrofoam alternative? That's where I'm at. That's where I want our scientific energies at the
moment. We need to talk to some scientists. What are we doing on this?
I'm just talking about sports. I'm just giving the Richmond Flying Squirrels update is what we're doing. Let's tee it up. John Michael Bertrand on the mound last night for the Squirrels. That means two things. One, Squirrels are probably going to win. And two, the game's going to go quickly. 2 hours and 6 minutes. They started, they finished, and in between the Squirrels dominated the Altoona curve to the tune of 1-0, third shutout win in the last seven games. Bats haven't been all that hot, but everything else has been going just fine for the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Now that we've got Erie out of town, can finally start beating up on these other teams. First win against Altoona, five more to go this week. Do we have a clip from the game? We have a clip from the game. I forgot to ask what the clip is, so let's all be surprised together.
And the pitch. Hard hit over to right field. This will score at least one. Siani Kampsunder makes the catch. Tagging from third base is Pomaris. He scores standing up. Sagasti holds it second, and the Flying Squirrels have the lead.
All right, that was a sacrifice fly by Vaughn Brown. That scored Adrian Sugastay. Sugastay advanced Jairo Pomaris to third base on catcher interference. And then Vaughn Brown with the sacrifice fly to bring in the game's only run. Squirrels back at it tonight. You'll hear them right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Carson Ragsdale toes the rubber for Richmond. Anthony Solometto for Altoona. He's Anthony Solometto, Altoona pitcher, 0-3 with a 6.23 ERA. A lot of people are saying he's the Washington Mystics of AA Eastern League Baseball. That's a thing people are saying. I don't know why they're saying it, but it's a thing that's happening. Wine and Canines at the Diamond tonight. $5 glasses of wine, $6 wine slushies. Nearly 7,000 in attendance last night, continuing a great summer for the Squirrels, who are, they're always at the top of AA. They're threatening for the full-on minor league baseball attendance crown this year after a really good April. The rain cooperated, the temperatures cooperated. It's stupid hot now. I don't like how hot and steamy it is now. Like, we went full summer, but it gets nice when the sun goes down. It's always, you know, get out to the Squirrels game. John Michael Bertrand's not pitching tonight. You'll get your money's worth. You'll be able to hang out there for a while, see if they can pick up a win against Altoona. We got two more segments. We'll take you up to AWOD Radio. It starts at noon, goes until 3. That's before Grant and Danny drive you home. As mentioned, Squirrels baseball tonight. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. We've got odds on the Super Regional baseball here. Charlottesville Super Regional. UVA minus 250 to advance to the College World Series. So that indicates they have a 71% chance of winning this weekend. That's about as high as it goes in baseball. It's hard to go much higher than that. Only one series that's a lot higher than that, and that is Tennessee, your national number one seed, against Evansville.
So,
against Evansville, the four seed.
Looking into UVA against Kansas State here, Kansas State might have the better pitching. As much as we like Evan Blanco and Jay Woolfolk was great last weekend, they have as a team 50 more strikeouts than UVA. But UVA has got like 60 more home runs on the season. So it could be pitching versus batting.
And that's why, you know, 70%, like, that's as high as it'll ever go in baseball, because you get one pitcher having a hot day. You only need two to make the College World Series, and you got one in the bag right there. You just need to win one or two baseball
UVA
games.
UVA needs to win the game that Blanco pitches. I mean, that's sure. The luck right there. And then hopefully Woolfolk will come through, or some of your other relief pitchers.
You're looking for Friday night big start. Whichever team wins that first game in a best of three, just such a huge advantage in baseball. When they don't, that's when it's noteworthy, when the first team that wins the first game. Who was it? It was Oregon State and Arkansas in the College World Series a few years ago. Do you remember this?
No.
Arkansas won the first game, and then in game two had two outs, ninth inning. Oh. The kid hit like a foul pop fly, and the right fielder and the first baseman collided as they went for it. For the game-winning catch. Neither of them got it. And Oregon State came back, won game two, won game three.
That almost happened to Randolph Macon a few weeks ago.
That did almost happen to Randolph Macon a few weeks ago. That's a good pull. We're on to Randolph Macon football now, though. David Wallace, Randolph Macon football, is it at Patriots practice
I saw
week.
That yesterday,
Love for him to catch on.
Yeah, I wish it was with a better team. I'm not high on the Patriots this year.
Sure. If you're a Randolph Macon football player, you're not getting picky about which of the 32 you end up on. Well, thank you for the call, but I'm waiting for the Chiefs
I'll
to call.
I'll hold off for the Jets, yeah.
I want to give you my take on this first down line situation and you can react to it. How about that?
Okay.
They're going to test this in the preseason, and if it works, they'll use it in the regular season.
So this year?
This year.
Okay.
If it works in preseason, they will use it this year. So instead of the sticks, the first down stick will have an electronic line on it that when they spot the ball, the ref will have, you know, a green light, red light, it was a first down or it wasn't a first down. I like that. I think that's good progress, right? You don't need to run the sticks out. You don't need to run the chains out. You don't need to go through that whole deal of doing that. That's a good improvement to the game. What we're not doing is more important to me, though. We're not putting a chip in the ball to help the ref spot it. Because that, to me, is always... I've never thought, like, oh, the chain gang, like, you know, they're running in from the sideline. How accurate? Like, I think they're pretty accurate. They're planting the chain where they need to. The spot is, to me, always been the thing where you have a guy lean forward and you don't know where it is. That hasn't changed at all.
The spot meaning that the ref drops the ball there. Well, it's always sketchy because they'll spot it, and then a player will kick it.
Yeah.
Or they'll spot it, and then another ref will come in and slightly change the spot. You
or
know.
Even in a pile situation, the ref just doesn't see, you know, quarterback sneak for a first down. They only see the first part of the play, and then there's a pile of bodies. Yeah, everybody's trying to move the ball by the time they break it up. It just feels like we should have the technology available to say this is definitively where the ball should be at this point in time.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know about putting a chip in the ball, if that could affect, you know, the way it flies through the wind or the way it gets kicked or anything like that, obviously. But with the chain gang is so iconic. It's just like when you think of the NFL and you think of fourth and inches, you think of them running onto the field and measuring with that thing like it's like the 1960s.
It's still a dramatic moment.
It's a dramatic moment, and I love it. But I'm on your team here, that if it works, if it's as simple as, hey, we spotted it and the technology says that's a first down, let's move on from the chain gain. I am against the robot umpires. That's one thing I do not like.
In baseball.
Yeah.
Well, going back to the chain gain situation, in for every dramatic moment we get seven more moments where a coach is like calling for a measurement just to buy himself time on a tough third and one
right.
situation.
And so that's the other interesting thing. Like, can you still do that if the, you know, if the technology is there and says it's the first down, do you have to challenge it? Can you say, hey, can I get a second look at this measurement?
You're challenging the spot, not the measurement at that point, because they can still re-spot the ball because it's still just the ref running in and like, here is where the ball is. Like, you know, where did he go out of bounds? Oh, you know, we'll put it right here, that kind of thing.
See, I don't mind the strategy of a good coach saying, hey, why don't we measure that? Give my running back a few more seconds to rest up before we pound it forward.
Part of the game, no doubt.
Yeah.
Gone. We're plowing forward. I don't mind taking those delays out of the game, though. Anything, if we can take replay review delays out of the game, I'd just be so happy about that.
Well, how long do you want a football game to be? An NFL game?
3 hours.
I want it to be 2 hours and 59 minutes. I'm with you. I mean, anything over, like 3:05, it starts getting long.
You went prices right on me there.
I did, yeah.
Phillips says 3 hours. I say 2 hours, 59 minutes.
Well, I didn't want to say the exact same thing as you. But you get what I'm saying here is that, like, when you get to a game and all of a sudden it's been 3.5 hours, it's like it's 4:45 and I'm ready to start the next game.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Or a Monday night game. I would like to, you know, if it starts at 8:15, we wrap up at 11:15. I can watch Scott Van Pelt for a few minutes. Yeah. I don't need to be awake at midnight still watching the game. That's not in my ballpark.
As long as it's Scott Van Pelt and not Ryan Clark.
Big swing there.
Yeah.
Big swing. I covered Ryan Clark for a season in the return trip to
DC. Ryan Clark, great football player, terrible on television. That's my opinion.
I don't think it went great for him that year in Ashburn. I don't know that he was as
No. But the first time he was in Ashburn.
Oh, first time he was in Ashburn. Great. I think he thought he was going to come back and be Ryan Clark.
He also was being interviewed like last week and saying, Derrick Henry, see him in a hole. I'm taking him down. He is so overconfident and cocky, and it's so annoying.
He's a defensive back. That is all of them. 100% of all defensive backs. What do we got on A1 Radio today?
Oh, it's going to be a really good show today. Of course, we're going to get into all things sports. Of course, we've got the French Open going on right now. Semifinals will be played later today. We'll talk some college baseball with Rod Baxley. He covers North Carolina, NC State, and all those southern teams there in the ACC, like Duke and Clemson as well. He'll he'll join us at 2 p.m. We got the Fast Break with AWOD where we will preview the NBA Finals. And Dave Johnson at 12:30 to talk Brian Keith, the new coach of the Washington Wizards.
The new coach is the same as the old coach.
Yeah, so, they removed the interim tag.
We'll keep her. I love how into college baseball you are. I appreciate that. Way to do your part for the Commonwealth. We're back with more tomorrow. AWOD Radio next. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.